good afternoon or good evening.
Hello, good evening.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. How about yourself?
Baruch Hashem. Getting back to almost normal, whatever that means.
Well, we just got the news. They're getting ready to do a protest in Lake Charles.
What was the news?
I don't know. Tony just came to tell me. I've been scrubbing bathtubs. You know, once a month you have to do the little procedure when you have those jets. And when we got the house had already been started, and they already had the bathtubs in. So I never wanted those things in any house I had. But the lady that had started the house, she put those in, so didn't have much of a choice. And so once a month, it's a big job.
I hear you.
And so that's what I've been doing. So I haven't been listening to the news, but Tony just came and told me he's not feeling too good.
He's going in to get another blood test?
Not until the 15th of June.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what?
That's what I was confused about.
Yeah, it won't be until the 15th.
Hey.
So let us begin. You'll find the Advanced Reincarnation class in row 11 of the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. It's in row 11, and then the second column from the left. When the landing page opens up, scroll down to class 32C, I believe. Nedah v'Nabihu. That's where we are.
32 C. Okay, I had 33-2B out, so I'll get the other one. You can go ahead.
It's chapter 33, section 2A. Nedah v'Nabihu.
Okay, well, I have 2B, so. But that's okay. Go on without me. I'll listen if I can't find it.
All right. Well, we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud, Kudsha Barichu, Ishkinte, Bidkilu, Urchimu, Udkilu, Udkilu, Urchimu, Leakta, L'shem, Yudhe, Bavavhe, Yehuda, Shalim, B'shem, Kol Yisrael, Limud, Torah, Mitzvah, La'sof, Torah, Mitzvah. Vayino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu kunanei aleinu maasei yadeinu kunanehu. Nedah v'Nabihu, chapter 33, section 2a. Later on, Nedah v'Nabihu also came from the good side of Cain. I'm getting some static, so could you...
Okay, that was probably because I was putting up my folder. I know what happened. I left the handout in my other room because it was about the jasmine. And so that next one is probably there. So I'm just going to listen today. So see if it's okay. I won't have to mute. I was trying to put the folder back.
Understood. Issachar last week, and I don't think you were on.
I wasn't, but I listened to the recording. But because I've done a study on that, including ordering the seats and all in past years, I wanted to add it. You also had a good article that I remembered in one of the Hulu laws about the flower. So, and that's one of the things that interested me. So I wanted to make a copy of that one to put with it so they'd all be together. But anyway, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I love I love it when it's something I've worked on, you know, for years, and you get another little level every time you come around to it.
Absolutely. So Nadav and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, chapter 33, section 2a. Later on, Nadav and Abihu also came from the good side of Cain. And this is the secret of the firstborn, Nadav and Abihu, Eleazar. On this, the Sohar in the portion of Achremot asks, it should have said, V'Eleazar, and Eleazar with a Vav. It is so an allusion to Cain, who was the firstborn of Adam, the firstborn of all history, and he reincarnated into Nadav and Abihu. Eleazar and Itamar, however, are from a different root. Therefore, it does not use the Vav with Eleazar to separate him from Nadav and Abihu. However, only Nadav had his ruach from the level of Cain, which is the secret of the verse, sustain me with your ruach, Nadiva, which is a generous spirit. This is a verse from Psalm 51. His nefesh came from his elder. Aminadav are the letters, or some of the letters, of Nadiva, the father of Elisheva, his mother. And so he took the last three letters, Nun Dalad Vav, which spell the name Nadav. Nun Dalad Yud Vav He can be parsed into Nun Dalad Vav, and then a second word, Yud He. Yud He is the upper unification within the Hashem's name, the Tetragrammaton. And in terms of Nadav, implies that he had a higher connection. Exactly what the Arizal says here with about him, having the special level of Ruach. The Ruach, Nadiva, Nun Dalad Vav, and then Yud He. The verse that this is learned from is in the special section, the special psalm of David's repentance over the Bathsheba scenario. It involved him falling into what seemed to be adultery, even though it was not. His nonetheless repenting over what seemed so fixed a great part of Cain's taking Abel's wife. Nadav helped make somewhat of a tikkun for this by not getting married at all. This is the meaning of Abihu. He is from Adam, the father of the entire world. However, with respect to Abihu, both his nefesh and ruach were from Cain. And that is why he is called Abihu. Literally, he is my father. To indicate that all of his levels were from Cain, who received the nefesh from Adam himself, the father of the entire world. And this is the meaning of Abihu. He is from Adam, the father of the entire world. Av, or father, is in Chokmah. According to the Zohar, Abihu indicates a strong, essential Chokmah lineage, linkage. And Abihu is Aleph Bet, or Bet, Yud Hey Vav. Chokmah includes the energies of Bina and Dat that come from it and are included in the Yud He Vav. Behold, I send you the prophet Elijah before the great awesome day of Hashem comes. And he shall restore the heart of the fathers to their children, and the heart of children to their fathers. This is a verse from Malachi. Atzilut, which is Chachmah, Abba, is as the father of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiyah, which are referred to as the children. The prophet Elijah will come and through his great power of prophecy, unite above and below. Atzilut with Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiyah, he will do this empowered by the super Nedav and Avihu energy entrusted to him. In simple terms, the universe will awaken to know that it has a loving Father. And this will bring everyone close to their Father in heaven and to each other. Cain, who murdered his brother, will be responsible for the greatest love, unity, and brotherhood ever known to mankind. This is the secret of we are unclean for the nephesh, Adam, the soul of man, which is a verse from Numbers, which were, Adam is referring to Nadab and Abihu, the nephesh of Adam himself. However, since Nadav did not have the nefesh of Adam, it does not say nefashot Adam in the plural, since the main nefesh of Adam was only in Abihu. This prevented those who carried their bodies out from the tabernacle from offering the paschal lamb. Their plea elicited the giving of a whole new mitzvah and a portion of Torah, the Pesach Sheni, the second Paschal Lamb. It is brought a month later by all those who are unable to bring it at its fixed time, on Pesach itself. Included in the criteria of who can bring it are those who were ritually impure by way of the impurity of a corpse before Pesach. This impurity comes as a result of the original sin. The second chance comes to give extra opportunity to fix things. It plants a motion in creation of teshuvah, fixing mistakes, as mentioned. This is, in general, is the theme of the Cain root and its superiority over the Abel root, mostly brought to fruition through the Nadav and Abihu channel. Abihu also received from Nachshon, his mother's brother. The Arizal starts this paragraph by mentioning that Abihu received from Nachshon, his mother's brother. The rabbis teach that one who wants to marry a woman should always check her brother. It is learned from, and Aaron took Elisheva, the daughter of Amminadav, the sister of Nachshon, to him for a wife. In other words, this dynamic empowered Abihu to draw from the Nachshon energy, because he, Nachshon, was also from the root of Cain. Because he, Nachshon, was also from the root of Cain called Nefesh. Furthermore, since the main attachment of the Zuhama, of the snake, in Adam is on the level of the Nefesh of Asiyah, he is called Nachshon, after the Nachash, the snake. A step deeper, Mashiach comes to perform, to sublimate, and harness the snake energy to the good side. It comes from the unique messianic place, the 50th gate. It is channeled through Nachshon, the prince of the tribe of Judah, the forefather of Mashiach. The snake tastes not his food, for whatever he eats tastes like dust. He always crawls on his belly. In the rectified state, this represents one who is completely nullified to and included in the infinite light. Let my soul be to all as dust, as we say in the morning literature. Mashiach will purify and elevate the entire world to this level, the exalted inclusion of the 50th gate in the infinite one. Nachshon, who was at this level, was the one who jumped into the sea and caused it to split. When one is in extreme danger, the essence surfaces. He demonstrated complete trust in God and nullification to his will. This was the catalyst for the miracle and opened the path for the whole nation to walk through the sea on dry land. So it will be with Mashiach by the final redemption. His outstanding faith, trust, and self-sacrifice will push the entire people through the pangs of exile and make miracles sprout left and right and open the light of the grand 50th gate to shine to all. The supernal snake removed two mochin from the nukva, which is two times the word or, light. As we discussed on the verse, V'ahavta, and you shall love, which is a gematria of 414. You shall love God your Lord. This is the gematria of Nachshon, to teach that Nachshon, through his good deeds, restored them to the nukva. Yudah is rooted in Malchut. The first prince of this tribe has to work to fix nukva, the Malchut feminine principle. Nukva is the partsuf that infuses this world. Mind power is light. Nukva has two mind powers, two lights. From this comes the love and fear of Hashem. Twice the or, the light, equals v'ahavta, from which is learned the mitzvah to love God for fear and love. Together are the two wings that propel the soul above to cleave to Hashem. The main attack of the snake, the evil inclination, is to put the soul asleep to divine connection. The main attack of the snake, the evil inclination, is to put the soul asleep to divine connection. He injects the poison of materialism and causes the soul to forget what it is here for. Nachshon jumped into the sea and jolted the entire people into remembering their purpose. His self-sacrifice stands for generations in the soul, switch board as a battery to enlighten Nukva, and the whole world is drawn from it to aspire to move higher. My commentary. When one works with the 72 names of Hashem, it is good to remember the above paragraph and the wake-up call performed by Nachshon ben Aminadab for all the generations. It is a good kavanah to have at the moment of scanning or reading the 72 names. Moreover, when it is incorporated into Yishai, David's father, then the level of Cain called snake was completely rectified. As the verse says, consorted with Abigail's daughter of Nahash. The sages explain that she was the daughter of the one who died because of the bite of the Nahash, alluding to the fact that Yishai was the end of the rectification of the impurity, the Zuhama of the Nahash, having the nefesh of Cain. Nevertheless, he died because of the bite of the snake, because of the sin of Adam. Thus, more completion was achieved through Yishai than through Nachshon. My commentary. Yishai is the second chance, just as described above. More is accomplished in the process of teshuvah than would be accomplished if someone does not ever make that mistake. Yishai and David are also from Judah. Accordingly, they also took a major part in rectifying the snake, who is stationed immediately beneath Malchut in the world's coming from Nachshon. They built on and furthered his work. Yishai was one of the four who never sinned. His death was directly for the original sin and made a great repair for it. His great level of perfection paved the way for David, the Mashiach root, to be born to the world. From these last paragraphs, we see clearly that Nadav and Abihu, the Cain root, is instrumental in fixing the tree of knowledge and bringing the final redemption. Returning to the discussion of Nadav and Abihu, since they were on the level of the nefesh called Asiyah, the Zuhama of the snake attached itself to them, and they sinned in the incident of the unauthorized incense offering. As a result, they were punished with death, which has its hold on the Asiyah. And that's the end of the section. Does anyone have any questions? We'll continue.
To even get the letters for his name, and it's just amazing.
It is. But it's also, it applies to our names as well, but we never use it.
Well, I had another experience at Shavuot when you were reading the jewels. When you got to my Torah portion of Bo, my 72 name was in that portion that you read three times. And two of them were related to the scripture for 5780. And I mean, to me, it's amazing.
But let me add to your understanding. When someone is called to the Torah as an aliyah, the procedure is to make a ring of the tzitzit and use that ring to lay it on the letters. And look at the letters, not the words. Most people see the words that they start the parasha, that their section of the aliyah, their section of the reading of the Torah. But if you make the ring with your tzitzit, put it on the Torah, and then kiss it, and then you use the hole, the circle of your tzitzit, to scroll down, to just follow the letters down line by line, not on the letters anymore, but on the white part of the right side of the scroll, the right side of the column. What you're looking for is the first letter of your name, and also possibly, if you have time and are quick, you can look for the last letter of your name. And what you're looking for is that letter in the Torah that is your name. And that's what you're learning with the names, the 72 names, and all of these connections that you've been making for the last 3 months or 2.5 months.
Well, it was in Joshua 6, Joshua 7, my Torah portion, and on for the jewels, which was not a very long one, you know, followed by Beshalach, it was real long, and yet it appeared 3 times. You know, just, and then on top of that, I took the verses that they were in and counted the number of letters and the number of words. And good. One of the numbers, I think, was 85. I'm not really sure what the number was. But anyway, I knew I was going to have to look that one up because I didn't have a card on that one. But I printed
85 is pay hey. It spells the word here. Now go back to that verse and see how the word here, H-E-R-E, relates to it.
Okay. Well, one of them had to do with it was dark in Egypt, but it was light where the children of Israel were. But anyway, I didn't get up from my chair, but I did pick up the handout of the, you had a new commentary this time on the Book of Ruth, and I had printed it to be able to read it during Shavuot, so I picked up that one just because I hadn't read it. Well, guess what? First paragraph, you had meetings with this number 85. I didn't have to get up and go look, and I wouldn't have anyway because I was trying to stay away from technology. So, just awe. That's all I can tell you. Awe. Just in awe.
Amen. Amen. Let's continue with the section 2B. Elijah the prophet is Pinchas.
Okay.
Elijah the prophet is Pinchas, according to the Zohar, who had the nefesh, Zahira Ila'ah of Adam. Therefore, Nadav and Abihu came into him in Ebor in the incident with Zimri, since they were also the level of the nefesh of Adam, from the aspect of the nefesh of Asiyah, as mentioned earlier. And here we're talking about a person's life process relates to the Ebor levels of his reincarnation. Likes attract and aid each other to rectify. And that's also very meaningful in understanding our lives and also why we change names. Because Pinchas, after Nadav and Abihu are settled in him, not right away, his name is changed to Elijah. Or actually, yeah, Eliyahu.
Mm-hmm. Does that also apply to your friends, that you are attracted to friends that aid you in to rectify, as it said, likes attract and aid each other to rectify?
Yes. But what it really means is that the likes, remember what we learned in You Are Who You Hate.
Mm-hmm.
The likes that you attract, they're not the ones that are holding the sparks of your soul. It's the ones who you don't like that's where they have the light, the parts of your soul that are being held captive. And as soon as you make peace with them, the light, those parts of your soul return to you. And that is part of the correction. So it's two different issues, but yes, very, very real, as the comment makes.
Mm-hmm. What I find is, if let's say there's someone that I didn't like, I find after about a week with the bedtime Shema, those feelings go away. I don't, you know, it's like, in other words, it's like just a temporary something that you didn't like about that person.
And that's the way it's supposed to be. That's exactly the way it's supposed to be, will you? Would you not like someone permanently? There may be a reason you don't like them, or sometimes it's just because you walked into the room and you didn't like them. But that's really telling you this person has a spark of your soul.
Mm-hmm.
That's the that's the meaning.
I walked into the lounge one time, and it was very evident they were talking about me and how I was Jewish and didn't, you know, didn't believe in the man from Nazareth. And as soon as I walked in, I knew that's what was going on because, they all looked up and they all shut up. And it happened that the person who was doing it was a substitute. And, you know, so naturally you feel, at that time, that was like 15 or 20 years ago, this feeling that you wouldn't like this person, you know. But I found the next time that he came to sub, I didn't have any hard feelings about him. So, and I see that with, I guess probably because of not working all the time and not being around the same people all the time, you know, that you don't have time to really get to dislike them, you know.
And it could also be that by you not reacting at the moment when you walked into the lounge and you knew they were talking about you, you didn't react in a negative way. That could have been the resolution where the sparks of your soul that person was holding were returned to you.
And even though I didn't know the person, even though I didn't really know him, I mean, he wasn't a teacher, he was there all the time. You know, as a son.
Remember, if you drive in the car and you pass somebody on the highway, there's an interaction with your aura, for lack of a better word. As your soul passes their soul, the outer limits of your aura, which is 88 inches, and they're 88 inches, some portion of that are interacting. And that's why you're moving your car past them at that moment. And that's a part of your tikkun. You're exchanging energy.
Well, I remember you saying that, you know, a long time ago. So no, wherever I am, if it's a waiting room or if it's and somebody just passes, I try my best to smile.
Exactly.
Because I feel like that.
Yeah. That exchange of energy. The term exchange of energy can also mean an exchange of soul parts. Let's continue.
Okay.
Nadav and Abihu had to die through burning. Now, had the Jewish people not sinned with the golden calf, the Zuhama, the impurity, would have been completely removed from them through the gift of the Torah. Even though by the giving of the Torah, the Zuhama ceased from them, it would not have been able to return with the sin of the calf, were it not that a bit was left, a little bit of impurity. That was the final test that could have sealed their ticket to eternity in this world. That's calling coming from the section of Shabbat in the Talmud. Had that been the case, then even though Nadav and Abihu sinned with the incense, they could have simply died a normal death. However, since Israel did commit the sin with the calf, they caused the impurity to adhere once again to the nephesh of Adam. And as a result, Nadav and Abihu had to die through burning. My commentary. This teaching is a shock. We are always taught that with the giving of the Torah, death was swallowed up forever. Yet here we learn that death will continue until the Mashiach. So how do we reconcile this appearance of a paradox? There are two Mashiachs, which will represent the male organ of the Sephirah of Yesod. One will represent the stem, the death, will continue until the second Mashiach, representing the crown of the male organ, arrives. Before the sin, Adam's body was from the world of Yetzirah. The sin caused a great fall to the lowly earthly realm of Asiya, and the body assumed a base physical attire. This is what the snake has a hold on, physicality. Physically, man is not that much different than beast. In fact, animals are much more physically adept and often much more beautiful. They are even at times better mannered. Manners that could be learned from them are not given in the Torah. They're given in the Midrash. My commentary. It is our intention to give examples when we start teaching the Torah encyclopedia of the kosher animals. And we have done that, but it's really not a complete book, and we haven't completed even the first volume. Fire destroys the substantiality of the material. It is therefore one method of destroying the evil energy of the snake, intermingled with the body. Cremation is forbidden, as God in his infinite wisdom sees that the best rectification for the body after death is to let it deteriorate. Therefore, only their souls were burned, while their bodies were left unscathed, for the negative energy was primarily attached to their souls, and from there was burned away. Their bodies were buried and left to natural designs. This is the reason for, and all your brothers, the entire house of Israel, shall cry over the burning, a verse from Leviticus. Their sin of the golden calf caused the burning of the nephesh of Adam, the father of the entire world. This is the reason why Nadav and Abihu were considered equal to the entire Jewish people, like Moses and Aaron, because they possess the nephesh of Adam itself. My commentary. The angel of death exists in potential in the spaces of the body. The organs, like the liver, the kidneys, the gallbladder, and many other spaces. These spaces are also within the atoms. The potential of death will remain initially and will eventually be removed when we are complete in our tikkunim. This is my opinion. Rashi states that Moses' remarks to Aaron that he knew the consecration of the tabernacle would involve the death of great tzaddikim. He had thought that it would be either Moses himself or Aaron. After Nadav and Abihu were taken, he saw that they were greater than Moses and Aaron. even though we explained that in order to draw down the tremendous Shekhinah concentration in the tabernacle, it was necessary to create an extreme awakening from below, which was to come through Tzaddikim dying for the divine honor. Still, if they had not sinned with the golden calf, it would have been possible to make this awakening by means of the offerings without anyone having to die. Transgressing the divine will impairs and weakens the spiritual batteries, leaving them depleted and unable to do what they were once able to do. One sin causes much good to be lost. After the golden calf, only the choicest were powerful enough. After the golden calf, only the choicest were powerful enough to propel a strong enough ascent from below to bring down the highest light. This shows the greatness of Nadav and Abihu. The secret is here revealed, that they are from the Nefesh of Adam himself. Adam's mistake took the Shekhinah out of the universe. He himself is accordingly the one to sacrifice and give up life for its return. Regarding the Ibur into Pinchas, it is written, remember, Na, the word is pleased, Nun Aleph, which Naki, Nun Kuf, Vav, which innocent person ever perished? This is a verse from Job that we have not quite gotten to. As the Zohar says, for the first letters of Nadav and Abihu are Nun Aleph, please. And they are from the root of Cain, Kuf Yud Nun, whose letters spell Naki. In other words, they never perished but went into Pinchas, who was also from Cain. However, as we explained earlier in chapter 32, when Pinchas sinned in the incident of the daughter of Yiftah, the Ibur of Nadav and Abihu were removed from him, and it went to Samuel, the prophet. Above, the Arizal taught us that Nadav and Abihu, or Na, hints, the word please hints to Nadav and Abihu. When this word of supplication was used by Elisha to receive double the spirit of Elijah, it again comes into play here by the verse speaking of Pinchas, which is Elijah, receiving these souls to fix them. This is an unwritten commentary because I just realized it. But we have a tremendous verse that we use frequently. El na refa na la, which is the healing verse that Moses used on his sister. Within those 11 letters, we have four of the letters are the word Na, Nadav and Abihu, twice, representing the returning light and the direct light associated with drawing back down this level of light into the physical world. Continuing to read. Above, we explained that Na, the word please, fixes the forceful taking of light found in the cane root in Tohu. Two Na's are necessary to fully repair this, one at the stage of Pinchas himself receiving the souls, and one when he passed them on as Elijah to Elisha. Alternately, but also related to this, they fixed Cain's forceful taking of Abel's wife and his life, do different actions of forceful taking. Pinchas killed the offenders and took life for good reason. Elijah gave the Shunammite woman a child. You can see how those nas, that word please, relates to these stories in the Torah. Continuing to read. As a result of Israelites sinning with the Moabite women, a plague was sent, and they were dying like flies. Pinchas got up, was vengeful on behalf of Hashem, and killed the main offenders, and the plague ceased. His zealousness for the divine honor fixed Cain's selfish jealousy. By saving his brethren from deserved death, Pinchas fixed Cain's killing his brother undeservedly. His care about his brothers fixed Cain's. Am I my brother's keeper? My commentary. Abel's death was deserved, or he would not have died, as is taught in the Kabbalah. His sin was that he was too attracted to the physical world and not doing his spiritual work. Pinchas thus rectified the separateness and lack of relation of the Sephirot of Tohu. At first, the Sephirot of Tohu were selfish in that each one received directly from En Sof, without giving to each other. Then the vessels tried to obtain too much light. This is the teaching of Etz Chaim and also the Ten Luminous Emanations. Pinchas thus rectified the separateness and lack of relation of the Sephirot of Tohu, the source of the Cain mechanics. This gave into Pinchas' jurisdiction the choice souls of Cain. Korach, the son of Yishar, was from the level of the Ruach of Cain, from the side of evil, as the verse indicates. And Korach took, see the translation into Aramaic here, that's what the Targum means. And Korach separated. Taking implies selfishness, the source of all separation. This comes from the dirt of the snake injected into Eve, which came out primarily in Cain. This evil ruach of Cain was enclosed within him, Korach, and therefore he accused Abel, his brother, who was enclosed in Moses. However, Yitro, though he too is from Cain, as it says, Heber the Kenite, separated from the Kenites, is from the level of the good of Cain. Therefore he gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses and was good to him and fed him bread. My commentary. Abel reincarnated into Moses. All three levels of Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. The reincarnations of Cain includes the Egyptian, whom Moses killed as the negative Nefesh, Korach, the negative Ruach, and Yitro, the positive Neshama. This greatly fixed the Cain root. Empowered by it, Yitro's recognizing one God and his power was actually the local catalyst for the giving of the Torah. The crown of Torah goes together with the others, which belong to Cain, being the firstborn. My commentary. Remember, the Torah has three crowns. The crown of kingdom, kinghood, the crown of priesthood, which is the crown of the firstborn, and the crown of Torah. Yet the crown of a good name exceeds all of the other three. Korach thought he had rectified Cain, the firstborn, and therefore he tried to overcome Moses, who was Abel. However, he had erred in this because the tikkun of Cain could not have come through Korach, since he was from the evil side. Rather, it could only come through his descendant, Samuel, the prophet, who was also from the good side of Cain. The sages have said that Korach prophesied, but did not know that he was prophesying, because he saw fire go out from his reproductive organ, making him think that since his descendants were to be rulers, fire indicates malchut and kingship. He would be successful in usurping Moses', and he saw that Samuel was to be from his offspring, and did not know that Samuel fixed things by doing them the right way, which was not the case by him. Understand this. And that's the end of the class, the end of the section. Does anyone have any questions?
I'd like to go back where it says Eber the Kenite. Is that another name for Yitro?
Yes.
Okay.
The Kenites is a nation that's coming from Cain, basically coming through Yitro.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because the H-E-B-E-R add a T, and that was my maiden name, last name. In French, they call it Hébert, you know, or Hébert.
Right.
And in Texas, they call it Hebert.
But we don't use those family names for this kind of analysis.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I knew he had several names. I just didn't remember that being one of them.
Yeah, he has 10 names, just like Moses has 10 names.
Well, when it said Zipporah, well, then I knew it was Jethro, so, or Yitro. Okay.
Does anybody else have any questions? You have a good evening. Shalom,
okay,
Gadol.
Shalom Gadol.
Thank you. Shalom. Shalom.